Welcome back to
Cup of Tea.
This is episode 2 on the House Ethics Committee, where we'll be diving into the ethical dilemmas seen today in the House of Representatives. With me today, I have 3 special guests. Kenny Marchant, a Republican of Texas, Ted Deutsch, a Democrat of Florida, who is also the chairman of the committee, and Yvette Clark, a Democrat of New York. We will get into this after a short message from our sponsor.
This podcast episode, Cup of Tea on the Ethics Committee, is brought to you by Boeing. Boeing is proud to supply aircraft for many important occasions, from national defense to economic travel. The official creators of Air Force One, proud to fly the president since 1943.
Before we get into our discussion, I'm going to let our congressmen and women introduce themselves a little bit more.
Hey, y'all. My name is Kenny Marchant, and I represent Texas's 24th Congressional District and the U.S. House of Representatives, and I've been serving since 2005. This district includes several areas around Fort Worth and includes our famous town of Dallas. I also serve on another committee, as well as the Ethics Committee, called the Ways and Means Committee. And I'm also part of 3 caucuses, the Republican Study Committee Caucus, the Tea Party Committee, and the U.S.-Japan Committee. A little bit about me. I'm 67 years old. My birthday is February 23rd, 1951. And I was born to my father, Kenny Edwill Marchant. He was a Republican too and gave me my Republican values I still hold near and dear today. I served as governor of Texas and worked closely with President Bush. We worked together closely on many projects. Later in life, before I became governor, I married Donna Marchant and we have 4 children. And I'm still proud to serve on the House of Representatives to this day.
Hi guys, my name is Yvette Diane Clark. In 2006, I was elected to represent New York's 9th Congressional District. I serve on 3 House committees besides the Ethics Committee, and which are as follows: the Energy and Commerce Committee, the Subcommittee on Communications and Technology, the Subcommittee on Commerce, Manufacturing and Trade, and the Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations. I am also on quite a few caucuses. I serve on several caucuses, including the Smart Cities Caucus, the Co-Chair Caucus, the Multicultural Media Caucus, the Co-Chair Black Women and Girls Caucus, the Co-Chair Caribbean Caucus, the Co-Chair Congressional Black Caucus, and the Congressional Progressive Caucus. Now, a little bit about me. I was born on November 21st, 1964, and I am a Democratic member of the U.S. House of Representatives, which you probably already knew. I was first elected into Congress in 2006.
Hi, Yvette. It's good to see you again. Greetings, everyone. Ted Deutsch here, and thank you for having me on your show. I am truly honored to be on your podcast to talk about one of my favorite things, politics. So my full name is Theodore Elliott Deutsch, and I am a member of the Democratic Party. I currently represent Florida's 22nd Congressional District. I was first elected into Congress during a special election in April of 2010, and I represented Florida's 19th Congressional District, and I was also a senator for Florida. Now, a little bit more about myself. I was born on May 7th, 1966, which makes me the beautiful age of 52. And I was born in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I am married to my wife, Jill, and I have 3 beautiful children. I went to the University of Michigan, and I also went there again for law school. And I am currently the chairman of the House Ethics Committee, and I am very proud of that position.
Okay, so first let's address the elephant in the room. What are your thoughts about the government shutdown?
Well, y'all, I just want to say, I went into this and I will forever support Donald Trump as a Republican. And as for my state of Texas, we do need stronger border security. I don't know about y'all. Y'all might have different opinions, but for my state, which is in contact with Mexico, I do believe that this wall is worth budgeting in and paying for.
I have to disagree with you. I believe that in America, there are so many other problems that we could use the $5 billion for instead of building a wall because one man wants one.
I support you fully on that. I honestly think that building this wall will prevent families from seeing each other, and it will prevent many people from just getting into America to do what they need to do, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So you both don't think that it should cost $5 billion, but do you feel that there should be a barrier at all?
I feel like there should be a barrier, but I don't think it should be restricting for people to be getting through, and it should limit people on where they need to go.
Yeah, I agree. I believe that keeping our citizens safe and secure is one of the most important jobs as a government, but I don't think building a wall will exactly solve that, and I believe that there are better solutions to that problem.
Well, don't y'all think solving the problem would be building the wall? I mean, yes, there will be entry points, and yes, there will be ways to get into the country safely and legally to stop this immigration crisis we have going on right now.
Yes, but I also believe that people can climb walls.
Yeah.
The walls will be tall, and the walls will be steel like you Democrats want. Don't you worry. It's not a pointless part of the budget. Now, the budget is not just for a physical wall. The budget is also for more advanced border security.
But why are you guys making a wall? Like, what's the point of a wall when we have, if you're gonna pay the money to pay for like security and stuff, then why would we need a wall, like a physical wall, to keep the barrier up between everybody?
Because you can't have a man standing along the border all day, every day. You need to have, there's gonna be space where you're gonna need to have it covered and keep the barrier up, but you can't have border security there because we're already tight enough on border security as it is.
That's what you guys need the $5 billion for, correct?
The $5 billion is sectioned off partially to the wall and partially to stronger border security.
Then why build a wall?
All right, let's all calm down. Now, Kenny, let me ask you this. Do you feel that it's worth all of these people who are missing their paychecks for this government shutdown? Is the wall really worth that?
I mean, when we as a Republican Party supported Donald Trump in this wall, we thought that this government shutdown wasn't going to last any longer than, say, President Obama's government shutdown that lasted over health care. We thought it was going to be something brief. But turns out it's been going on for almost a month now. And I mean, I have friends who are about to miss their second paycheck, some of which work for the government that's not funded, like being a wildlife firefighter. But, you know, I feel like this is worth pushing, and I would really, the Republican Party in general, would really appreciate it if y'all cooperated a little bit more in understanding that we just don't want a physical barrier, we want to just strengthen our national border security as a whole.
I understand that, and that's why I think that it would be pointless to build a physical wall. Like, I understand that we need more border control, but I really don't think that it's worth $5 billion and that it requires people to be missing their paychecks because of it.
Well, as soon as y'all sign an agreement or you try to pass legislation, the sooner this all will be over.
Well, the sooner you all agree to stop paying $5 billion on a pointless wall, then maybe this will be over.
Okay, let me just step in here. I also believe that we have to address the big problem here. President Trump won't budge on his opinion and his desire for a wall between us and Mexico, and even to the point where he's willing to call a national crisis. And I just think that's unnecessary. People are out here losing money by the second. They have families to feed, and they can't really afford to miss another paycheck.
I mean, I see where you're coming from, and I see how you all would try to judge the ethics of our President Trump. But, I mean, he has technically done nothing ethnically wrong here. He's just trying to push his legislation, and y'all are just trying to push yours. So, I don't know what to say, is just we gotta help bring the other 435 members of Congress together to end this.
So, I've just received breaking news that President Trump signed legislation to temporarily reopen the government for 3 weeks until Congress reaches a decision about this. But he wants to make it clear that this was in no way conceding. It's taking care of people who were hurt by the shutdown. And if in 3 weeks there's no deal, then he is willing to shut down the government again. So what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I don't know. I really just didn't see this one coming. I really thought the Republican Party was not going to cave. But as he said, we're not caving. We're just giving us time. And like my dear friend over here, Yvette, was arguing about, we now have these people getting paid so they won't miss our second paycheck going around here.
They should have done this a long time ago, you know? With this money, what'd you say, like $11 billion in debt? We could have solved like the Flint water crisis.
Or we could have paid for the wall.
Well... So, Ted, I think you mentioned the government shutdown did cost the economy something like $11 billion, so it really had a big effect on that. So how do you think the shutdown affected your committee, being the Ethics Committee?
First, I just wanted to let our audience know just exactly what the Ethics Committee is. The Ethics Committee is the only standing committee of the House whose membership is evenly divided between each political party, and that includes 5 members of each political party. The day-to-day work of the Committee on Ethics is conducted by a staff that is nonpartisan by rule.
Yeah, basically, I forgot to mention earlier that I used to be the chairman of this committee. However, since the new Democratic wave here in the House, I'm now the minority leader of this committee. Some other things is we administer travel, gift, financial disclosure, outside income and other regulations, advise members and staff, and issue advisory opinions and investigate potential ethic violations here, not just here on the Hill, but in our federal government in general.
All right, so why don't you guys give our listeners a brief history about your committee? Like, how did it come about?
In 1978, Representative Matthew Lyon of Vermont spat on Representative Roger Griswold of Connecticut during a vote. And that's kind of unusual, and they had to consider like what to do exactly after that event happened, because it's not really normal to spit on people when they don't agree with you.
So basically, they had no uniform or constant mechanism until the 1960s, and they decided that for misconduct allegations, they had special committees or some issues went directly to the House floor.
The committee was created officially in 1967. It was called the Committee on Standards of Official Conduct. The name was changed to the Ethics Committee in 2011.
So the government shutdown has prevented kind of our committee on choosing the new members as the new Congress came in. Obviously, we have the chairman and the minority leader as me, like Ted Deutsch and Kenny Marchant is the minority leader. But we still have no official members yet. It will most likely be members from the 115th Congress if they were voted again, but we haven't had full confirmation yet.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about some current issues in your committee, but since we just got a new Congress, nothing really controversial has happened yet, so we should talk about some stuff from the last Congress.
Yeah, I agree. Our last deal of last year was about Capitol Hill's overhauling sexual misconduct system. We have been working towards making that better. A nudge that comes after months of stalled talk on recounseling the House and Senate approaches.
So last year we wrote a letter to the House and Senate leaders in both parties, and we decided to lawn the Hill misconduct legislation, and the House passed it in February amid multiple sexual harassment scandals that ended both careers on both sides of the aisle. The House passed the bill that would hold lawmakers personally liable for harassment and discrimination settlements that stem from their own actions and would require claims to be sent to the Ethics Committee for potential further inquiries.
The reforms that we have advocated have had an overwhelming support in the House from both the Republicans and the Democrats. Both the people in the Ethics Committee members agree.
Okay, so let's move on to our next current event. So your committee has been investigating Arizona Representative Schweikert over his dealings with a former top aide, Oliver Schwab.
So basically, we announced on Thursday recently that we were expanding our investigations into our allegations surrounding Arizona Republican Representative David Schweikert over his dealings with a former top aide, Oliver Schwab. And Schweikert has repeatedly tried to downplay the scandal, calling it like that he was saying that it was just clerical mistakes. Yet, despite his claims, the ethics problems continue to grow more and more serious.
A little bit about Representative Schweikert. He's from a neighboring state of mine, Arizona. He was born on March 3rd, 1962. He's been serving in the House of Representatives since 2011, and he's a proud member of our Republican Party.
So actually, the investigation was actually started by the Office of Congressional Ethics, which is an independent ethics watchdog, and they launched a formal probe earlier this year because there was allegations that Schweikert misspent official funds and received illegal campaign contributions from Schwab and other employees, and that was according to a secretive panel. And now that we've kind of furthered that investigation, we'll see where it takes us.
All right, so there's one more thing I wanted to ask you all about, even though it doesn't directly affect your committee, but Representative Linda Sanchez ended her leadership bid after her husband's indictment. Could you talk about that?
So basically, Representative Linda Sanchez on Thursday, she had dropped out of the race to lead the House Democratic Caucus and faced questions about her political future following her husband's indictment on federal criminal charges. It's just the latest scandal to hit Capitol Hill. Two indicted members, Republican Reps Chris Collins of New York and Duncan Hunter of California, won the re-election on Thursday despite allegations against them, as did Senator Bob Menendez, who was acquitted of bribery and corruption charges earlier that year.
Isn't it just so interesting and funny how our society works? Because Representative Linda isn't really even like the one doing the charges. Like, it's her husband, and she's putting her family first in front of her political career. But other representatives that have faced charges specifically about them, they seem to have no problem with winning the re-election.
That's very interesting. Kenny, you seem like you'd like to respond to that. Is there something you want to say?
I do believe it is very sad that Linda Sanchez had to drop out of the race. However, I do feel like she is doing the best thing for her and her family. I mean, as a Republican, one of my strongest views is family first. You know, they are what make us strong, what hold us together. And right now, her family isn't strong. They need support from her because her husband, Mr. Sullivan, did some not so great things, and now he is suffering the consequences from it. She needs to be there for her son and her family. So I strongly believe that she is doing the right thing, dropping out of the race.
All right, so I think that'll be it for this episode, but before we close it out, I just want to recap all the things that we talked about. So first, we discussed the government shutdown and how it's affecting your committee. We also discussed the investigation of Representative Schweikert, and we discussed how Linda Sanchez is being affected by her husband's indictment. I'd also like to go ahead and thank our sponsor, Boeing, for sponsoring this episode. And of course, I want to thank our guests, Ted Deutsch, Kenny Marchant, and Yvette Clark from the Ethics Committee. Thank you for joining me on our podcast today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Cup of Tea on the Ethics Committee, and we hope you join us next time.